When you're on a mission, you are far more influential. It's an undeniable fact. To be possessed by a mission, to be held, guided, and directed by your own mission in life is to be a more sharper, stronger, and resilient instrument for service. Clarified missions support a robust effectiveness that simply cannot be matched by lesser means of motivation or direction. Therefore, discovering and then tailoring your own mission in life is perhaps one of the most valuable investments you can make in yourself. And it is one of the most valuable gifts you can give the people around you. A clear mission shows up in your family. It demonstrates its shape and direction in your friendships. And of course, it also powerfully impacts your professional conduct and the organizational value you can provide. To know yourself and your purpose intimately and to devote your professional life to the mission you were born to step into is to gain hold of a greater power in your life. Planting your feet firmly inside of your own tailored mission means that you are guided by an inner directing intelligence capable of the higher ordered self-management we have been exploring together. As you might already be sensing, your self-directed mission is another expression of the self-authoring mind's expanded capabilities. This is because the self-authoring mind is what enables you to existentially stand on your own two feet and author your own unique path forward. The mission you belong to, the one you must fashion in your own image and shape out of your own values, is a function of a qualitatively more complex mind, enabling you to manage distraction and overwhelm with greater nuance. It's the ground you must stand upon to assert yourself in ways that serve the organization and relationships around you. It enables you to establish greater distance from the difficult relationships you must navigate professionally. If your life's mission and purpose is to genuinely be welcomed into your heart and lived in the world, your hands must be the ones to create it and tailor it. As you do so, your mission becomes a trustable and resilient reference point against which you can measure all experience. Each situation you find yourself in becomes an opportunity to maximize opportunities to fulfill your mission. Through continual measurements, appraisals, and reappraisals of your professional conduct, and an ongoing recalibration of the work you do in the world, you become a sharper, stronger, and more focused instrument of service. Being mission-driven is in many ways a culmination of personal power aligned with your unique gifts, enabling you to more elegantly lead and serve. To be held by your mission is to possess greater clarity around the core professional purpose of your life. Now, this purpose of your professional life is no small inquiry. In fact, it's such a big inquiry, most of us don't explicitly ask ourselves, what is the purpose of my life? And if we do ask ourselves this question, we are all too often clinging to glib answers we've rehearsed. Sometimes we echo messages that speak to us from someone else, or we mirror the messages from a prominent leader in the world today. While appealing and even comforting, these rarely get at the heart of the question, what is the purpose of your life? Instead of grappling with the uncertainty, complexity, and anxiety inherent in this question, it's easier to focus on getting the answers to more tactical, short-term questions. Questions like, which professional training should I pursue next? How do I achieve the next set of quarterly goals set for me and my team? Or, as we've already explored, what can I quickly clear out of my inbox? We all have parts of ourselves that love simple cause and effect relationships. In some ways, the simplicity soothes us in a world that, if we're boldly honest with ourselves, is vastly more complex than we are. Solving tactical, short-term problems in our lives reassures and comforts us, but for only so long. The big questions, these larger and more significant inquiries, can't be answered merely by reflecting back on your life. You won't get a satisfying answer simply by projecting your current life forward into the future either. And superficial reflections won't help you discover the answers that will author your path forward. Regardless of how well we insulate ourselves from the larger, more complex realities of life, there is an unrelenting call that simply cannot be avoided. Our grandparents and parents die. Jobs end. Children grow up. Titles change, sometimes not for the better. Partners leave. Siblings pass away. Our intimate lovers die, and we too will die. Unfortunately, sometimes our hearts encounter the tenderness of our own children dying before us. In the face of death, we are asked to make meaning of life. Ultimately, our personal missions have but one measurement from which they are judged. It is a form of quality control testing, and here it is. Can your mission stand dignified with a great and beautiful integrity in the face of death? Mission and purpose that cannot withstand this measure are ultimately not worth devoting your professional life to. When we are ready, or when life's circumstances force us, we find ourselves confronted with the larger questions about mission and purpose. Oftentimes, these aren't just heady, intellectual curiosities. They're deep inquiries that churn in your gut. They might ask, what is your purpose? What is the mission that you belong to? Who is it that you must become before you die? And perhaps most importantly, how must you take action in light of the answers to these questions? These kinds of questions take over our bodies, minds, and our hearts. They subsume all of us. They can wake us up in the middle of the night. Regardless of when these larger questions come or what your inquiry feels like, it's important that you pay close attention to how these larger questions feel in your body, heart, and mind. So, in order to begin clarifying your mission and purpose, first you have to listen to the whole question. Receive its openness, uncertainty, and implicit demand somatically, psychologically, and emotionally. This prepares you to answer the inquiry with all of you, body, mind, and heart, instead of the more limited, compartmentalized approach of your mind alone. In fact, it's essential that you do not collude with your more or less disembodied conceptual mind, because when you face big questions, it's likely that your mind will leap forward with clever ideas, but these smart answers usually have a hole in them. Passion and heart are often missing. My contention for you is that something deep within your bones is the place from which you want to fashion answers to these larger inquiries. Whether it is known or unknown to you, the deeper aspects of you are committed to authoring meaning that is uniquely yours. An integrity that belongs distinctly to you is to be written through the full displays of who you are. These deeper parts of you yearn to create this messaging for yourself. And they also yearn to be exemplars for the many people around you, especially our future generations. Our youth need strong, brave, and wakeful demonstrations of integrist identities that have the capability to stand tall in the face of death. In the wake of death's power, there is a part of you that unshakably loves your life even more. So, before we dive into a few exercises to carry you forward, let's pause and look back at where we've been together. Throughout our journey, we've looked at perennial challenges that most professionals grapple with every day. Distraction is an ongoing problem in most organizations. Overwhelm is an emotional reality that many of us face on and off in our lives. Greater ability to assert in skillful and culturally supportive ways is needed in every organization, and working with difficult people is always a facet of organizational life that drains productivity and resources. The world is large, it's massively complex, and even highly developed nervous systems struggle in the face of the multifaceted challenges most adults live with. When it matters most to voice our integrity, many of us are held by our tendencies to remain quiet or to follow the all too often unexamined norms around us. Negotiating these challenges requires that we master the transition between the socialized mind and the self-authoring mind stages of adult development. Being able to peer into yourself to ask the hard, perhaps unresolvable questions around mission and purpose so that you can generate an authentic and original response is itself a function of the self-authoring mind. Being able to take a vantage point on the broad expanse of your life and the many people who you work with, without losing footing on your own pristine integrity, is an enactment of the self-authoring mind's greater aptitudes and skillful means. Part of the mastery of the self-authoring mind involves an intelligence that is ideologically driven. In Robert Keegan's model of adult development, an ideology is the part of you that generates values, standards, theories, and constructs feelings. Your ideology establishes what I call a cohesive stability or integrity. Your ideology is your self-generated system of best ideas and best ideals. It is your philosophical predispositions and theories. Your ideology generates the rules and means of regulation you leverage to manage yourself and the people around you. Authoring an ideology is the process through which your uniqueness establishes, or at least attempts to establish, a larger wholeness and completeness. And that larger wholeness gives you a new order of focus. It fashions expectations that help modulate overwhelm. It enables you to skillfully assert yourself when it matters most. And your ideological foundations enable you to plant your feet outside of those difficult relationships to gain the mindset that can transform them. As we've been exploring it, adult development is an artistic path forward where you are the art itself. The construction of your self-tailored identity is an artistic expression of you. The most basic activity of you is to generate original compositions. The colors you use, the mediums you employ, and the styles you lean upon are who you are. To create, fashion, and direct your life's mission and purpose is to grab hold of greater power and influence in your professional and personal life. Another way of understanding this is psychological power, the ability to hold, operate on, manage, and otherwise handle facets of your own psychological makeup is an essential form of power. Research shows the greater your psychological power, the further you can go professionally. Being able to see distraction, or as we explored earlier, to be able to see the underlying root causes and assumptions that give rise to overwhelm, are both functions of a larger psychological power. As you've listened to these audios and engaged with their exercises, you've been growing greater forms of mental power with which to manage yourself more skillfully. In the case of asserting yourself and working with difficult people, your increased psychological power has enabled you to become more influential in your organization and our world. In important ways, you're accelerating your development. When you notice your more socialized sensibilities giving rise to distraction, overwhelm, and how you express yourself, you're stepping forward into greater command of yourself. When you experience the possibilities of your inner guiding and inner conducting authorship in contrast to younger patterns, you're getting opportunities for more adaptive responses. In situations where you would have fallen back into less complex forms of mind and acted out younger parts of yourself, greater responsiveness is now possible. Your wholehearted effort and enactment keeps you focused where you once might have been distracted. Instead of working hard to stay on top of everything, now a part of you rigorously stays on top of what has greatest value to your mission and the ways it can serve the many people around you. When you might have once been silent, now you have voice delivering greater value and direction, both to yourself and to the people around you. Where you might have remained stuck in tension with the challenging people you work with, you now have greater access to a mission that situates these conflicts and tensions into less influential facets of your work life. Adult development provides you with greater choice. More psychological power means you enjoy greater freedom. A larger, more adaptive you means you retain greater skillful means. And all of this pragmatic utility is aimed in one very important direction: serving the mission that speaks most intimately to your heart in the arc of your entire life and death. So, to support you in continuing this path, today's exercises are all about clarifying your mission and sharpening your influence. First, large questions should press up against your awareness as you develop greater self-authorship. It's important for you to allow these questions to penetrate into you. Allow the big questions in life to permeate and percolate within your body, mind, and heart. What is your purpose? What is the mission that you belong to? Who is it that you must become before you die? And perhaps most importantly, how must you take action in light of the answers to these questions? Establish a ritual or routine for reflection. Fix it in your schedule, protect it carefully, and reflect daily. Reflecting every once in a while is insufficient. It would be like going to work every once in a while. You're not going to make much progress. Remember, you're searching for greater abilities to reflect on ever-broadening perspectives holding the totality of your life, and this means your brain needs to become more integrated. This takes time and it takes repetition. A good start is to commit to 20 minutes every day. Reflect. Ask the big questions. You can capture these reflections in a journal. I highly recommend that you do. And also allow yourself to put that pen down and allow these questions to circulate through your body, mind, and heart, as we've already discussed. One of the practices I give to many of my clients is called phenomenological reflection. This form of reflection is vastly more superior than traditional reflection through language. While narrating more clarity on your mission is what we're after, you are wise to suspend the language function of the brain, located in the left frontal cortex, and engage or turn up the experiencing function of the brain, located in the right frontal cortex. Phenomenological reflection shuttles back and forth between the constructions of language, narrative, and meaning-making, and the experiential immediacy of your life. Instead of writing more or less continuously, phenomenological reflection involves periodically stopping to shift your attention from narrative to experience. By allowing your attention to sink into the affective, emotional, and felt contours of an experience, you suspend the thinking, reasoning, and narrative functions of the brain, and this allows you to experience more of your life right now in real time. In this practice, you don't just think about your mission, but you feel, intuit, imagine, see, and ultimately become your mission. You might pause for 30 seconds, or it might be for a few minutes. Regardless of how long, by pausing to feel what it's like to be living your mission, you are cultivating stronger neurological connections with your brain's ability to experience your life more fully. In your own time, pick up that pen again or begin typing on your keyboard. As you do, try to reflect on the experience and capture it in language. Capturing experience through reflection and narration is a key element of neurological integration. As you shuttle back and forth between the language and a more raw experience of life, you are horizontally integrating your brain, which is an excellent practice for cultivating greater neurological development. Another tool I encourage you to leverage within your reflections involves placing yourself at the end of your life. This exercise is simple yet powerful. Place yourself at the end of your life, looking back at yourself today. What do you see? What mission or missions are worthy of your heart's ongoing commitment? What advice would you give to your present day self? How can you challenge yourself to more rigorously attune to your mission? Reflection and journaling are considered to be one of the hallmarks of adult development. Use them every day. Your mission likely depends upon it. Listen to the questions with all of you. Reflect and re-reflect. Author your unique path forward, my friend. The world is asking for you. It is calling for more of you. I'd even argue that our world is starving for more of you. Every day and every situation is an opportunity for you to step into greater alignment with what matters most. Your ongoing reflection and journaling will support you in this aim. Lastly, I would like to invite you to continue to participate with me in my own personal mission. My life is devoted to cultivating greater human elegance. In particular, I'm here to support elegance in leadership. This audio course is one taste, and I encourage you to revisit and re-listen to the audios that can better support your own greater competencies at work as you move forward in your mission. And I invite you to further explore your own professional development with me. Thank you again for your valuable time and attention. I look forward to sharing more of my own mission with you in the future, and I'm excited to see, hear, and experience more of your mission at work in our world. Thank you.